Chapter 18. The Whispers of the Violets. Sansa stood up and glared at Varys. "Now it is time for me to join my people and let the forest decide your fate," Sansa said, holding Varys' sword. Varys shouted back, "If you're leaving it up to fate, then why are you taking my sword? There's no way I will survive tied up to a tree without a weapon." Sansa glanced at the sword and threw it towards Varys. "Good luck," he said, turning away without looking back. Varys struggled to loosen the ropes, his arms aching and bleeding. His strength was fading away. It was no use. He couldn't escape. Sansa must have known there was no hope for Varys to get out alive. Desperate, but it was out of reach. Varys let out a big sigh, zoning out as he stared into darkness. The sound of the wind above him sounded like wings flapping in the sky. So he heard something heavy landing and rushing through the trees towards him. Panic set in as the noise grew louder and closer, but Varys was so exhausted he could barely keep his eyes open. He eventually closed them, resigning himself to his fate. Just then, Varys glimpsed at a violet flame arrow. The next thing he saw was an ethereal fire of violet that melted the ropes that bound him. He wasted no time, grabbing his sword as soon as he was free. In the shadow, he saw a massive dragon, much larger than the dragon-like creature that he encountered before. Without hesitation, Varys ran for his life, hoping to escape and praying the dragon-like creature wouldn't find him. To his horror, Varys saw the creature approaching with increased speed. Panicking, he ran faster, but the creature was much quicker. Eventually, he reached the edge of the cliffs and stopped just in time, staring down at the long drop that ended in the ocean. Varys turned, readied his sword facing the direction of the noise. Through the darkness, the yellow eyes appeared. From the trees emerged the enormous dragon. The creature dwarfed Varys, its immense size towering over him. As the dragon roared, lifting its head and radiating airwards, Varys glanced back at the cliff. With one last look at the dragon, he took a deep breath and jumped off the cliff, hoping that fate was on his side. As Varys plunged into the ocean, the impact nearly knocked him unconscious. However, his struggle to breathe kept him alert. Using the last bit of strength he had, he quickly emerged from the water and looked up at the top of the cliff. There he saw the dragon searching for him. Varys began swimming towards the shore, moving in the opposite direction where the dragon was. When he finally reached the shore, he collapsed on the ground and fell asleep from exhaustion. When Varys woke up, it was daylight. He looked around to find himself on the shore with soft sand. The ocean stretched out before him. Its waters were clearer blue than he had ever seen in his world. It was stunning. Beautiful. The sunlight reflected off the water, making him squint and raise his hands to shield his eyes. He glanced back at the forest, pressing a button on his gauntlet. With very limited equipment and all his supplies gone, he tightly grabbed the sword. Varys was hungry, parched, and feeling weak from swallowing too much seawater. He knew he needed to find a safe place quickly. Opening the map, he searched for Val's safe place if it was near. To his relief, Varys discovered the safe place was just a few minutes away. He turned to look at the direction, but he couldn't see much through the shadows and shades of the trees. As he walked towards the indicated spot, he saw what appeared to be a rocky formation of a hill, with no visible entrance. Approaching the location marked on his map, Varys stood before a sealed rock, which was supposed to be the entrance of Val's safe place. He hesitantly touched the rock, searching for a hidden mechanism. As soon as he made contact, he felt a vibration. His body shook and he stepped back. The ground beneath his feet vibrated tensely, and then, to his astonishment, a solid rock disappeared, revealing an open cave. Varys was certain he hadn't done anything to trigger the opening of the cave. but his gauntlet also briefly lit up. Rans cautiously proceeded into the cave. Inside, the cave resembled a safe room Rannis had encountered before, complete with a bed and a desk. However, this time, there was two wooden chests. Rushing over to them, Rannis activated his gauntlet, and as he touched the chest, he heard the lock click open. Opening the lid, he found enormous empty parchment pieces, various pantry items including food, water, wood, wool, cotton, animal hides, and stone flint. He scratched his head at the bizarre contents of the chest. Moving to the second chest, he found it contained the basic tools like including knives, a bow, wire, and other essential equipment. Breathless and exhausted, Rannis slumped against the chest, letting out a deep sigh. He quickly fetched some water and then sat up beside the chest, laying on the ground. Determined, he stood up to gather the fire-making equipment and soon had a fire crackling. As he heated up some of the food, he reflected on why Val had insisted only using these supplies when truly necessary. There seems to be nothing hugely important about these supplies. He also pondered about the high volume of empty paper without a single word written on it. Perhaps Val intended to leave notes for someone else, but ultimately decided against it. With so many unanswered questions swirling in his mind, Rannis stared into the fire flames, lost in thought. Once he inspected his equipment, Rannis prepared his bow by stringing it, and he then gathered the dagger and used the material he found, tying it around his waist and over his shoulder to fashion his makeshift bag. The bag would hold his weapons, ensuring they were easily accessible. With the bag secure, Rannis loaded it with all the food, water and other materials he gathered, knowing they could prove essential on his journey. With determination, he used the gauntlet to find a nearby town. But to his dismay, there was no town nearby for miles. The nearest town was actually an area Val had marked for Rannis to visit. To Rannis' relief, he wasn't in a dangerous red zone location. With the direction clear, Rannis set off towards the town marked by Val, hoping to find answers and supplies along the way. As Rannis walked deeper into the forest, he heard a woman scream. Hastening towards the sound, he saw two women. One lay unconscious, struggling to breathe, with brown hair and clothes made of basic cotton. The other woman, drenched in perspiration and dressed similarly to the first woman, was taken care of for, casting an angry glare at Rannis as he neared. "What do you want?" she demanded in a harsh, toxic voice, holding her wooden spear. "I'm here to help," Rannis replied, stepping forward. "Please, let me assist." "It's not safe for you here." The woman eyed Rannis gorgeous suspiciously, then walked over to the unconscious woman, still glaring. "I don't want your kind around us. Leave us alone," she snapped, not taking her eyes off him. Ignoring her hostility, Rannis knelt down beside the unconscious woman, examined her closely. "Please," he pleaded. "Let me help her. I found a nearby village. We can take her there, and they should help her." The woman remained silent, her distrust evident in her gaze. So that's the end of the chapter. I hope you're enjoying the story so far. If there is a place you can leave a review for the story on a platform you listen to, it would help me dramatically. And also give me feedback privately. You could do like leaving a message through my website, or you even sign up to my newsletter. My email address will be there. I think I might have mentioned in my previous podcast episode that I was doing a game jam. I did try to participate in it, but unfortunately, it took me about 5 days trying to figure out how to open a door with a key. So I didn't complete in the end. And I now stopped that for the time being. I still have yet to learn how to make a game, as I want to continue my writing for this story. It was fun to learn what I did, even though it's not much in a short space of time. I'm basically just planning on focusing on the story and get this story done and narrate it for you. But like, if there is a place you can help me out, if you're listening to it on YouTube, or there's a place where there's a like, subscribe button, please click away or help me dramatically. If there's a place you know where you can leave a review on the story, it would help me too dramatically. If you do want to show your support, help me fund my stories, I do have a Buy Me Coffee page, which is basically any money I get will help fund the story. Basically, I'm going to need editors, and I when I'm doing the completed book, I definitely will need get someone else narrating the story, as I'm not the best voice actor. Hope you enjoyed the story, and thank you for your support, and I do really hope you have a good day.